Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Here. Ooh, sorry, that part of the range is, well, it was left in Oklahoma. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you know this, but virtually every night, my honey lamb and I, we sit alone and talk and watch the hawk making lazy circles in the sky. Actually, we didn't see one hawk making lazy circles in the sky of Oklahoma, but wow. We sure did feel the wind, and we had an awesome time at Oklahoma State University. Just really, 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 really encouraging. There are ministries on campuses that so invest in the students, and you can see it. You can just tell. They're stronger than their peers. We skedaddled, because that's what you do in Oklahoma. You skedaddle. Not real fast. But you still skedaddle over to Oklahoma University, where we had another great time. In fact, I just did a Peter Brady. Here's the deal. It went a little long at Oklahoma University. Okay, we finished at about 12:20, something like that. And so, sorry for whatever's going on with me, but we had such a great time and it was such an encouragement. And this might encourage you too. A building and committed people is a powerful combination on a university campus. At Oklahoma University, there is a student center. Now think student center on a university campus where it's got the coffee shop, it's got the lobby, it's got a bookstore, but it's not just one level, it's two levels because on the second floor, it has a big auditorium that seats a lot of kids. So imagine a typical university student center, except this one is owned by the Baptists. And they are doing ministry on the campus, and they are right next to the dormitories, the frat houses. And so they've just got people coming and going. And the building is such a helpful ministry tool. But if you do not have good people leading it that really are interested in the students, that really want to invest in their lives, a building is just a barn. And furthermore, a bunch of people doing really good work, they can still do good work on a campus. But with the building, that combination is so powerful. There were just kids everywhere. And we had a delightful time, albeit went to bed past my bedtime and kind of talked an awful lot. For that, I'd like to repent to the entire state of Oklahoma. Only saw a couple of the oil. I don't want to get all technical here. Oil rig. I get oil thingy. That's, you know, that in the ground. We saw a couple of those on the way to the airport. Otherwise, I didn't see as many as I anticipated. I thought it was going to be like just littered with oil mines. Oil, that's right. Oil mines all over. All righty then. Please send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, please, to idea@wretched.org. And if you want to text, please do so at 877-282-2337. And thank you to everybody at OSU and OU. It was a privilege.
All right. Well, we're going to start with a question from Tim. Todd, my unsaved wife refuses to listen to me. She's taking against my will our daughter to a Halloween party instead of having her stay back with me to give out gospel tracts to kids at the door.
Yeah.
Any ideas?
Yeah, I think you need support. That would be my idea. There's other ideas, but you need support that can give you very specific, detailed ideas. Because there are very few. The only other configuration I can think of in a home that is more challenging is single motherhood. That's hard. But being unequally yoked, I don't know which is harder, because it has a component that is so deeply painful, and that is you don't get to share the central element of your life, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ. You don't get to talk about those things. And then you get these types of conflicts. Sunday morning going to church, do they do the youth group? What about giving your finances? You want to support your local church, and your unbelieving spouse is like, want to go on a vacation. What are you going to do? It's going to be a struggle. How do you raise the kids? What about when those kids maybe want to get baptized? What do you do? My point is, it's hard and you need support. So please find it. Find somebody at your church, several guys, potentially older guys, who can walk you through it, who can help you make decisions that are strategic and wise, because there's so many moving parts to this. One simple answer ain't going to get the job done. So the best that I can think of that you could do is get yourself support in the context of your local church, because, dude, you need it. And you need somebody to encourage you. You need somebody to pump you up. You need somebody to say, hey, dude, stay in the ring. Stay in the ring. This is your ministry. This is what God has called you to. You're not there by mistake. You didn't marry the wrong woman. She's the right woman, and she's your ministry. And in order to do a very difficult ministry, because the emotions are so profound, get yourself some support in the context of the local church.
Yeah. I would say I would be careful about, I mean, I understand what he's saying, but I would be careful about looking at it as a battle of the wills, your will versus your wife's will, because it's not a disagreement between a husband and a wife. It's a collision of worldviews at this point.
Oh, it's very deep and profound.
Yeah.
And some of these things, like who takes the kid to what event, look, that I get it. That gets tricky and that gets dicey. And you're going to need, I think, some outside counsel as to which hills you should die on and which ones you shouldn't. That is why the best thing is customized advice. And this is what the church is all about. This is what we should be about. I'm sure there are older guys in your church who have walked in your exact same pair of shoes. Tap into that. They'll help you out. They will give you the wisdom that you need so that you can also be an effective evangelist with your spouse. And that's dicey business. That's, I mean, dicey in that a misstep can set off a landmine that blows up everything. Find support in the local church. And hang in there, dude. This is your ministry. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous, a text. Todd, is the Serenity Prayer good theology?
Oh, wow. Lord, grant that I can take the things that I can't and won't do, and then make me feel better.
Can't change or yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All right, look the thing up so we can work with it accurately here. I can't remember. I could be totally wrong about this, but in my mind, I put it that Serenity Prayer in the file labeled R for Roman Catholic, but I could be wrong. It could be something that people pray. And if it's biblical, then I think you can pray it. I just don't know if it's biblical or not. All right, well, how does that thing go again?
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
It's fine. I just think there's more theologically robust prayers that would invoke, you know, sovereignty and that God is in control. And so rather than, hey, just let me accept this stuff, I prefer to see it differently. All of the stuff, including unsaved spouses, are a gift from God in that he is doing something in them. Remember, he only does things for his children. He never does things to his children. And so, yeah, accept the things that I can't change. You know, that sounds, okay, I'm being a little picky, but it sounds more like willful resignation as opposed to trusting God. Lord, I wanted something different, but you gave me this. And I receive it because I know you only do things for your children and never things to your children. And then you can receive it with gratitude. Okay, help me, Lord, to receive, to do the what? How does it go?
The serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, okay. I just think there's just more theologically robust prayers available. I don't think it's wrong. It's just that it almost feels, it feels less than sovereign to me that God is in control of every single thing in my life. And I want to rest in his character and his nature, not just have serenity to go, okay, well, just the way it is. If I could change it, need some courage to do that, but I need some wisdom to understand the difference. I just think that there's something, I don't know, what are the words I'm looking for? But better. Please send stuff. Whatever it is that's wretched to idea@wretched.org. And if you want to text, please do. Jimmy, do you want to know what the questions were at the universities mostly?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you next on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
On second thought, maybe it works. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, it was a little look of panic on your face because no. I asked you a question with 6-7 seconds left. And right. But you told me that you really weren't anxious because
I prayed the Serenity Prayer quite often.
It works. This is Wretched Radio. Please send stuff. Would you be so kind? Idea at wretched.org. You can also text 877-282-2337 or you can join us on a university campus where we do Q&A, and we did Q&A that has been so encouraging. At each one of our stops, we were at Kennesaw State, University of North Georgia, and then also at Oklahoma State University and Oklahoma University. And by the way, here's a tip for you. If you're ever engaging with a student at Oklahoma University, don't ask him how long he's been a student at Oklahoma State University. Trust me, I heard that from somebody who learned the hard way. The students were asking questions that were so encouraging, and you should be encouraged by this. So imagine a room full of students, and they're asking questions on the microphone. Do you want to know what they were asking about? Jimmy, you want to take a guess? What seemed to be the major, I don't want to say concern in a negative way, but what they were most interested in?
Sure. Do I want to take a guess? Yeah, yeah. That was the question. Loneliness?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
What was it?
Evangelism.
Oh, wow.
How do I witness to fill in the blank? Mm. I have a Roman Catholic friend. There's a lot of Mormons on campus. What about somebody who says that they don't believe that the Bible is true? Just all of that. They were mostly, not all, but if I had to put a percentage on it, 70-80%. Of the questions were about evangelism. Now, how encouraging is that? That the students want their friends to be saved. We should all be encouraged by that. And incidentally, Jimmy, you're going to start next week?
Sure.
Now you got a look of panic on your face. We'll compile all of those questions that were asked, and you'll hear it for yourself. We'll play those on Witness Wednesday because we wouldn't be violating our Witness Wednesday because they're all evangelism questions. What are your questions? Please send them to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from KJ. He texted in, Todd, my fiance and I are getting married in December, and I was hoping for some advice. I know that I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader in our marriage, but I'm feeling overwhelmed by this call the closer we get to the wedding. My fiance is 4 years older than me, a college graduate, and her whole family has been in leading and teaching roles in churches and Christian colleges. I, on the other hand, am none of these things. How can I lead someone spiritually who is so far ahead of me in every way?
Yeah, well, you know what? You've done good already because you recognize that. And I hope you don't feel bad about that, because that's so what? So you're behind theologically from your spouse. Good on you for being able to identify that and admit that. So now that you've taken the first step, the second step would be to keep stepping, intensify it, dive in a little bit more fervently and deeply. And you're not going to become a theologian overnight that knows the answer to every single question that the Bible might pose. But it will allow you to lead your family. Just because you're not as advanced theologically as your future spouse, it doesn't mean that you can't lead. It doesn't mean that you can't read the Bible together. It doesn't mean that you can't even do a Bible study together. And she should be seeing you, recognizing that you're not quite as astute as she is, but wow, he's trying, so up. let's do this. And she should be willing to maybe do something that for her is a little bit less robust, and you should be straining then to move in her direction. And when you do that together, you should meet in the center, and it should be a sweet time. So don't feel like you're disqualified just because you don't know as much. Talk through it. No doubt she's aware of it too, and that's okay. But this will make, I promise you, this will make all the difference in the world for her and for her family who might be looking on. the worst decision that you can make confronted with this situation is to adopt an attitude of passivity. Don't do it. Jump in. Go for it and lead. And even if it's something where they're like, yeah, we studied that like 40 years ago, they're not going to cop an attitude on you because they're going to be like, look, our son-in-law is really giving it a go. He's being a spiritual leader. You don't have to have a PhD in theology. You need to have the attitude that says, Lord, this is my assigned role. I am going to step into it and I'm going to do it. Honey, let's go. And it'll take some extra work on your part. But the blessing will be your spouse will be encouraged and you are going to grow. There's one other thing that I might suggest. If you're talking about how to be a spiritual leader in your home, just move. Don't forget, there's other components than just doing Bible studies as a family. It's how you're living. It's how you're speaking. It's how you're behaving, how you're using your time, what your attitude is about all the stuff that has to get done. You can be a magnificent leader in all those areas also because we're called to be an initiator. Be the one who's like, come on, we're getting up. We're going to church. No, we're doing Bible study. I know there's a big game. Don't care. We'll have to record it. Do they call it TiVo? Is that still a thing? I don't know.
I've not heard that in a while.
However you record a football game, lead the way in spiritual things. Lead your family in all areas of life, and especially in the area of repentance. I cannot tell you how crucial that is. Be a man who's willing to say, honey, I done blew it. Forgive me. I'm sorry. That is everything in a marriage. If you want it to be like firing on all cylinders and everything is lubed and running right, you need to be a repenting husband. It will serve you well. And hey, you could go to fortisplus.org. You could learn to be a repenting husband. We have a resource called Drive By Marriage. It is absolutely free. The whole shebang is free. It's only audio, but it's so good. And you could listen to it even with your spouse and do the study guide, which is F-R-E-E, nothing. It will cost you nothing at fortisplus.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a 20-year-old guy, and I've struggled with porn most of my life. In the last few years, God has saved me, and I've genuinely repented of my sin. But I still struggle with porn. Okay. And beg him to take this burden for me nearly every day. I fall every few months and recently failed again. I feel like a hypocritical wretch who can't even approach God in prayer because I keep going back over and over for the same failure. I'm tired of repeating the same endless process.
Yeah. Yeah. For you, do you feel that? That's what porn does to young men and young women. It entraps them and then it tortures them. And it is a painful cycle for the porn struggler. But that is the key right there. Dude, you're still in the game. You're struggling. You still hate it. That is a magnificent sign. You are indeed a Christian. Now, as a 20-year-old male, how do you overcome it? Well, believe it or not, the answer to that question is really simple. The simplest way to stop watching porn, this is, and I'm not saying this is the best way. The simplest way is to cut it off. How do you have access to it? Whatever it is, get rid of it. Really, I'm not kidding. It should be that radical. The amputation of what is causing you to sin is the step that Jesus recommends. Pluck out your eye, cut off your hand. Now, he's not saying to do that to your body. He's saying, cut yourself off from the source of your sin. Just run away from it. Be done with it. You say, I can't live without a cell phone. I say, I'll bet you can. What does it profit a man if he has a cell phone but loses his soul? So that's the easiest. Now, that doesn't mean it's the best. The best is that your heart hates porn. Because right now, believe it or not, you don't currently hate porn. Now, this email was heartfelt and sincere. But you don't do what you hate. You know what I hate? I hate banging my fist with a hammer. I hate that. So you know what? I don't do it because I actually do hate it. Now, if I didn't hate it, I would hit my hand with a hammer because I actually liked it. You're watching it right now because you love it. What does it take to not love it? You need to love something more. You need to grow in your love for God where you just simply do not want to do that thing because you no longer love it. You despise it because you have a love that is far greater. We have a resource. Guess what? It's free too. Play the Man. The whole thing. It's on the YouTube machine. We have it at fortisplus.org. I don't think we don't have a study guide with that, but it does have questions at the end of each chapter in the printed form. I commend it to you. I encourage you because it will point you in a better direction than mere amputation. It will point you to Jesus, grow your affection for him, which will expulse your current love. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Silicon Valley is finally admitting what should have been obvious from day one, and that's that letting kids chat with AI bots designed to mimic romantic relationships is a very, very, very bad idea. Character.ai has announced that it's banning users under 18 from its chatbots after multiple lawsuits, including one from the family of a 14-year-old from Orlando. The boy became so attached to a chatbot that he believed ending his life would transport him to her world. Three other families have since filed similar lawsuits. Senator Josh Hawley continues to press the FDA on its reckless approval of abortion drugs while the agency plays hide-and-seek with basic safety information. The Missouri Republican pointed out that an Ethics and Public Policy Center study using hundreds of thousands of insurance claims, a larger data set than the FDA has ever examined, showed serious dangers with mifepristone. Yet the FDA commissioner hasn't responded to Hawley's letter from a month ago asking why the agency expedited approval of a generic version while a safety review supposedly remains underway. Meanwhile, new polling from Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, shows 70% of voters want common sense safeguards reinstated, including in-person doctor's visits and screening for coercion. Texas judges just won the freedom to keep their consciences intact. The state Supreme Court updated its judicial code of conduct to clarify that judges can decline to perform same-sex weddings based on sincerely held religious beliefs. The change vindicates a justice of peace who faced sanctions in 2019 for recusing herself from such ceremonies. Campus religious liberty battles continue exposing just how hollow institutional Christian identities have become. At Abilene Christian University, administrators threaten conduct violations against pro-life students for displaying a sign reading "Abortion is murder." They displayed the sign at their resource table, but it was called hate speech. After a legal threat, the university backpedaled and apologized, but students are now pushing back against proposed tabling policies that would ban confrontation or public debate. Meanwhile, at Catholic University of America, student senators proposed banning any club supporting Israel, then voted down adopting the international definition of anti-Semitism after senators denied Jewish persecution throughout history. Some better news from Colorado. A high schooler won her fight to paint religious imagery on her parking spot after First Liberty Institute stepped in. The school district initially rejected her design featuring the parable of the lost sheep and 1 Corinthians 13:14, but reversed course when lawyers pointed out the obvious First Amendment violation. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at fortisinstitute.org. And also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day!
This is Wretched Radio. Happy Reformation Day. Would you please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337. Had some questions at Oklahoma State University and Oklahoma University about Roman Catholicism. Actually, a number of questions came up. And this might be really helpful for you, mom and dad, or youth group leader. There was one young man, just a polite young gentleman. And he transparently said, "Hey, I'm kind of checking out Roman Catholicism and Orthodoxy, Eastern Orthodoxy. What are your thoughts?" Well, I had plenty of them because he was particularly interested. That was my question. "Well, why are you interested? Why are you pursuing it?" Because I didn't want to be shooting targets that didn't exist. And his issue was he was intrigued by the Mass, specifically what we would call the Lord's Table, communion. He was very intrigued by that. And I had to point him to the Reformers because that was one of the big battlegrounds of the Protestant Reformation. We tend to overlook that. But the issue of transubstantiation, a Roman Catholic priest, a mere mortal, calling down Jesus from heaven to somehow turn elements that clearly remain bread and wine into body and blood, to consume them as an act of being re-sacrificed? Wow! And the Protestant Reformers said, not a chance, because that violates the completed redemptive work of Jesus Christ. They found it to be quite a blasphemous celebration. And so I was able to share some of that with him. But I know that he would do really, really well to study the Protestant Reformers and what they debated the Roman Catholic Church over so that they can be aware of the issues. What did surprise me a little bit is that this young man didn't say, "Well, I'm intrigued by the historicity of it." He was to a degree, but that didn't seem to be the first thing that came out of his mouth, that "I want to be connected to something ancient and historic." We need to let our young people know, oh, you are connected to something ancient and historic. Believe me, you're very connected. It's called the invisible church, not a visible institution, the invisible church. You're connected for all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed. That's your ancestry. And we need to let students know that so that they don't go looking. They've got an itch they want to have scratched. Well, we can scratch it. It's called the invisible church. So to you, mom and dad, or youth group leader, if you are not talking about the Protestant Reformation, this is a good opportunity to do so today. And then send stuff to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Naomi. Todd, I have a friend who recently made a social media post where she rebuked Christian ladies for their choice of wedding attire. "While I see the need to ensure that we glorify God in our dress, regardless of the occasion, and hold each other accountable, I don't think the post was very loving or kind, and it bordered on being legalistic. I'm also unsure that a lengthy social media post was the most appropriate choice for this rebuke. Should this be corrected? And if so, how does one go about lovingly correcting them without killing their zeal for God's word?"
I'd try to do it privately. Those conversations are far more fruitful when it's done one-on-one as opposed to social media. So if you have the opportunity to reach that person and say, "Hey, would like to talk to you privately," now that would go a million miles. Social media is a tricky beast because it does have the propensity to come across as snarky. It just does. And some people think that they have this shield in front of them that blocks them from any sort of accusations of being unkind because they can sometimes even be nameless. So it's a territory that is fraught with arrows flying in all directions. However, to not be in that arena, to me, is a mistake as Christians. That is the village green. That is where people gather. They don't do it physically anymore. They do it online. And so we want to be engaging. We just have to do it in an engaging manner. We really have to watch our... Hey, we've got a thing on that too. Wow, there's a lot of stuff at FortisPlus.org. It was really good. It was called the thing. Go ahead and tell everybody what that was called with Justin Peters. We did it a couple of years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Wow, was it a couple of years ago? About judging?
Oh, Judge...
Not Judge Not.
Not Judge Not. That's your book.
Yeah, exactly. You'll find it. Just go look at it, FortisPlus.org, because we talk about what we need. specifically, I think if I remember right, it was segment six. And we'd used that before here on Wretched Radio. It was the letter that was so helpful that John Newton wrote to another pastor who had told him that he's going to put something in the newspaper criticizing another pastor. And Newton said, before you do that, bro, here are some things to consider. Oh, man, is that ever helpful. So be an engager online. Just engage in a way that is Christ-like, because there's a lot at stake. Newton brought up the issue of, okay, not only are you, when you, like, if you decided to write about or to this woman and everybody got to see it, first of all, you need to be mindful of her soul. Are you ministering to her, or are you going at her? So you don't want to commit the same the same mistake that she appears to have made. Second of all, you've got different people that are going to read that post. You've got believers and unbelievers. And you got to be mindful of it. It just really, that means when you post something online, if you just zing it out there, oh, you might want, you regrets, you'll have more than a few if you do that a lot, because you're not taking the time to think through, all right, how might an unbeliever read? What are they going to think about Christians if they see this post? It will guide you and help you a ton to remember that your post, it's a public declaration of a Christian. And you want to make sure that anybody whose eyes read it don't get put off by Jesus because they perceive the attitude or the tone of one of his followers is kind of snarky. Jimmy, did you find it?
Thou shalt judge.
Thou shalt judge. Okay, well, it had the word judge, and it's That's free. Right. And I think it's got a study guide to boot, I think. It's at fortisplus.org. See? All this stuff for free at Fortis, but man, we got so much stuff for free. Hey, you want to be encouraged by something? All right, this is probably a week old. I was supposed to do this last week. Yeah, here it is. Right here. Hold on a second. I gotta find my here. Pando. Do you know what a pando is? It's not a bear in China. Pando is a web, it's a thing with the it's an app. Is what my notes say. It's an app. Created originally for inmates. And so it's in more than 200 facilities and on 400,000 tablets already. That is awesome. That's somebody's doing a good work there at Pando. At any rate, they put Transformed on. And okay, in just 2 weeks, over 15,000 views from inmates. That's awesome. That's just, that's good stuff. And that's just, it just makes our cold conservative hearts virtually melt, because that's just exactly what we exist for. We want to create stuff that's biblical and useful and can be widely disseminated for free. So if you're a gospel partner and you allow that to happen, be encouraged. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, is it okay for a pastor to write down and read his pastoral prayer during Sunday service?
Yeah, sure. In fact, kind of encourage that, because it'll just be more structured. It'll be more thoughtful. You're going to miss stuff. I mean, it's okay if you do it off the top of your noodle if you have that gift. But I think most of us write better prayers because we can think about it. You know what? I repeated it there. Oh, that was a little, it'll just be more articulate. So yeah. And if I could encourage you, brother, increasingly make it longer and longer. Stretch your congregation so that they settle into it. It's so easy. Don't you just feel it when a prayer happens? Because if you're not like settled into the service, because this is the highlight event of the week, and prayer can be, it's hard to sometimes concentrate. It's like, how long is this prayer gonna be? You just kind of want it to like let's get on to the next thing where I can open my eyes and look around and sing. And so it's easy to be distracted and to not concentrate. And what do you do anytime that you want to do something better and longer? You need to rehearse it. You need to exercise it. And a pastor can lead the congregation in that exercise by not, suddenly he's doing like a 7-minute prayer and everybody's just
really struggling, but just exercise that prayer muscle a little bit more every single week. And you will discover that it trains us. It trains us. So when the prayer happens, it's not like, all right, make it snappy, Pastor. Instead, it's like, all right, we get to approach the throne of grace and you settle in and you actually engage your brain. So Pastor, lead your congregation in a prayer exercise. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Dyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart, and it is not what you think. Dr. Dyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood, real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group. And they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. So they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary, and controlled, and they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature. And his wrath has been settled on the cross. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If I didn't know better, I think we're professionals here at Wretched Radio. If you visit fortisplus.org, lo and behold, right on the main streamer banner thingy, right up on top, post tenebras lux. Learn about the Protestant Reformation, and everybody there has a beard except Martin Luther. What was up with Martin? Why didn't he? Maybe he just couldn't. I think he could, because even the picture. Who did the? Wasn't Cranfield? Who did the picture? The most famous painting of Martin Luther. You can tell he could have grown a beard, but I know why. Because he wasn't reformed. There it is, right there. That's the beard distinction. You can learn all about the Protestant Reformation. Might be something that you could do with your
kids. I'm looking at the how the Reformation changed Christianity, what the Reformation truly accomplished, why this theology is undoing the Reformation. Wonder what that one's about. Here's John Krotz. How the Reformation brought the Bible must be back. Oh, there's On the Shoulders of Giants. My son is in that. He did a really good job traveling around Europe about 20 years ago. And the picture that the little thumbnail that's up, I'm sitting in a recreation of the cell that William Tyndale sat in Vilvoorde before he was executed for wanting the Bible to be in the language of the people. Oh, here's another one. Post-Reformation liberalism. Oh, that's a bonus feature. That was standing in front of a picture. It was a painting in a church. We must have been in London because James Pace was taking us around. And there was a picture that, unfortunately, in this church, there was just a bunch of junk stacked in front of it. It was like this glorious mural that you'd see in a museum covering an entire wall. And it's a picture of, I don't think it's Tyndale or it's somebody on their deathbed. It wouldn't be Tyndale because he was actually put to a stake where they strangled him with a chain so that he couldn't preach while the flames consumed him. And then they had a bag of gunpowder around his neck to blow his head off. Nice. So whoever this reformer person, I got to think of it, it's going to drive me bonkers. He's on his deathbed and on one side, he's got the Roman Catholics coming at him like and knocking the Bible away from him. And on the other side are the Protestants at his bedside comforting him and praying for him. And there's more symbolism there that I actually explain in that particular video, which you can watch for free if you visit fortisplus.org. There's a lot of stuff here. Evangelicals and Catholics together. Can we unite? Oh, this was the papacy. This was good too. That was with Tim Challies. There's a lot of good stuff on the Reformation. It's all free, courtesy of our gospel partner. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. FortisPlus.org. Then send us stuff, your thoughts, perhaps, comments, critiques. We'll take them all. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I had a witnessing encounter with a fellow who knows about Adam and Eve, the fall, God's law, and a little about Christ, and he believes in heaven and hell. However, he is very angry with God because this man says he was, quote, never asked by God if he even wanted to exist in a world with sin and misery. What is a good response in this case?
I'm feeling kind of Romans 9. Who do we think we are? That God didn't ask for permission to create us. Well, he doesn't have to. He just does. And what he does is good. And creating you, sir, was a good thing. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he didn't just assemble you at a factory where you were just on a line where you just got cranked out. No, he knit you together in your mother's womb. And guess what? He has works for you to do. And he has a manual and a people for you to help you in your journey towards Celestial City, where you get to spend eternity with the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. Really? You wanted him to ask permission to create you? First of all, how would he ask permission of somebody that didn't exist? That little technicality aside, how's about rather than wondering, okay, God, why didn't you ask me, as if we get to sit in judgment of him? How's about we go, wow, he lets me exist. Wow, praise God for his goodness to me. I think the other thing that I would do, quite honestly, is probe that. What's going on there? That's kind of, is he upset? Did he experience a loss? Was there some sort of tragedy where he's got a simmering blueness underneath the surface? Does he have a root of bitterness? So I think there are things you could say to respond to his accusation against God that he was mean for not seeking his permission. I would go digging, get to the heart of the issue. That's just a fruit. I think there's a root.
I wonder if he's also angry at his parents.
Good. Yeah. Well, it could be.
That's an honest question.
Look, it could be a million things.
Well, I mean, they didn't ask his permission either. That's what I'm getting at. So
I see.
Yeah, yeah. But it's so, an honest question.
He's got it. Well, and maybe he does have issues with his parents. Maybe he has issues with his financial status. Maybe he has issues with his height because God didn't give him as many inches as he'd want to, and he has to wear lifts in his shoes. I don't know. That's the point. Go digging, because that sort of statement, anytime that you get a question that is kind of like, there's probably something deep underneath it. Go dig it out. Then you can actually help the guy. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Joe. Todd, so recently you were talking about honoring your mother and father. What about in-laws who are a burden to my wife and cause her trouble? Shouldn't I, as the husband, be allowed to make the decision to limit how much time we spend with them and how much time our children should be exposed to them?
That was a lot right there. The answer is absolutely you should play that role. If indeed, now I'm going to put about 75,000 asterisks next to that indeed. If indeed they are causing your wife pain, then it is absolutely your role to step in the middle of that and say, hey, Mom and Dad, love you to pieces, but this is happening. Now, this should be a progression. This shouldn't be an immediate, gonna cut you off. That's what they do in the secular humanist world with let them theory. We're just gonna cut you off because you're so horrible. You're toxic and I'm done with you. So I'm gonna let you go. I'm building boundaries. That's the most loving thing I can do for me. Don't do that. Make it step by step. Hey, Mom and Dad, I just got to talk to you about this. You know, when this happens, when you do that, when you act like that, it's really rough on the family and it's hurtful to my wife. So, hey, could you be mindful of that? Leave it there. See how they do. And if they fail, then you got to turn it up a little bit. Hey, Mom and Dad, you remember how we talked about that? Yeah, still doing it. Could you work harder on stopping that? They don't. Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. This is the third time we've had to talk about this. Apparently, I'm not really making myself as emphatically clear as I need to. That behavior toward my wife, it really needs to stop. And you can do it in degrees, and you can pick as many degrees as you want to. And if ultimately anybody is assaulting your wife and family, anybody, that is the dad's job to step in front of that and take the bullet and block it. That is your job. Just don't do it like the world, because they do it so horrifically and it's nasty and it's ugly and divisive. It should be one of care and compassion. And if they're believers, it should be even easier. Hey, brother and sister, this behavior toward my wife, I have to point it out to you. It's sinful. What can I do to help? What can I do to help you not do this? So they're just degrees. Don't start where the world starts. You want to hear the world's at it? We're going to do a bunch about this subject, because I'm telling you, this is just everywhere these days with this let them theory and cutting people off. Here's the description of the Let Them Theory book. It sold 7 million copies. What if the key to happiness, success, and love was... were as simple as two words? If you've ever felt stuck, overwhelmed, or frustrated with where you are, the problem isn't you. Oh no, it couldn't possibly be me. The problem is the power you give to other people. Two simple words, let them, will set you free. That's funny. I thought Jesus ate John 8, 31 and 32. Free from the opinions, drama, and judgments of others. Free from the exhausting cycle of trying to manage everything. Let Them Theory puts the power to create a life you love back in your hands, and this book will show you how to do it. Cut them off. Build a boundary. Do it for you so that you can be happy. Here's a post. Every time you say no to something that leaves you feeling empty, you're choosing peace over pressure. That's not selfish. It's self-respect. Setting boundaries. Ah, that phrase doesn't make you harsh or unkind. It probably does, actually. It means you're finally listening to your heart, and protecting your energy. You're learning to say yes to what feels right and no to what breaks you down. Honor your limits. You don't have to explain them to anyone. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do for yourself and others is to protect your peace. Well, you need to protect your family as a Christian man, but not like that. Do it in degrees and do it lovingly and honoring them. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.